Hello, and welcome to Gravel Knits, a place to chat and have a few sips. Today is February 9th, 2022. Thanks for listening.
I'm Caitlin, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
And I'm Kelsey, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers. And Caitlin, would you like to introduce tonight's beverages?
I would love to. Oh, wow, you put them in.
I did.
It's so fancy. Look at that. So we're doing D beers tonight, and they are both from Franklin Street Brewery, which Kelsey is acquainted with. I haven't tried their beers to my knowledge. I probably have and didn't know. I don't know. But yeah, I'm excited. So we're going to start off with the cherry sour beer, Dom Cherry Nom.
Good job. I think you got it about right. So it's kind of a play off of Dom Perignon.
Ah, yeah. Seeing the GN there, it's like, I think that's what they want going on.
Ooh, cherries, science, hint of magic, touch of art. We would like to cheers to the sheep for their wool, the shepherds for their dedication.
And the sheepdogs.
And the beer that keeps the world happy.
Yay!
Cheers!
Cheers! So my husband did everything in his power to like not run into the room, and then he's just like, "Can I try?" So I feel like we might have to let Brian review it with us. That's okay.
I think
okay.
We should.
Okay.
Absolutely. Ooh.
It's the Dom Cherignon.
It's a sour. Well, you gotta say more than that.
It's very good. If I was gonna call it something, I'd call it Cherry on My Wayward Son. Yeah, it's cherry. It's sour. It's a little bubbly. I don't know if it's supposed to be bubbly because like the champagne, but
I think it, my guess is probably yes.
I feel like it does have a bit of that champagne feel to it.
Best part about sours is that if you don't drink it over like a couple hours, it still tastes the same. They don't go bad.
It's kind of true, unless they get warm, in which case they're not as tasty. I want to see real quick what Untapped has to say about this one.
Ooh, it tastes like smooth jazz celebration.
Mm-hmm, I would say so.
So does the can. Thanks a lot, Franklin Street.
A tart cherry explosion of beauty where sweet meets sour and your mouth is forever grateful. Probably forever. They probably made a typo.
I like it. I definitely get like a clear cherry taste. Got the sour, excuse me, got the champagne feel. Like I think they did what they went out to do.
I would say so.
It's
I like
syrupy.
It.
Yeah, it's not syrupy.
Good point.
Oh, it's definitely not like medicine cherry, which can be bad.
It's like real cherry cherries.
That was my worry, is like, oh, it's going to taste like cough syrup or just grenadine.
Or cherries.
Yeah. Grenadine. Woof. But no, it's very delightful. Thank you for letting me try.
Mm-hmm. I guess a 3.75 average.
Nice.
I think I'd agree.
All right. Bye.
All right. Now that we have our drinks, how are you, Kelsey?
You know, I'm pretty good. I got my head shaved today. Well, not shaved, but.
Nice. It looks fresh.
It's all short again, which is why I had a hat on. Put it over my. Yeah, it's a little chilly.
So now Kelsey has put her hat over her headphones.
You know, how
she
many
has
times?
Like the over her head headphones.
I do this at the office a lot. I have a couple bigger hats that fit well over my headphones, and both at home and at the office I have the over the ear style headphones. They're kind of big, but they're wonderful for the noise, the sound and quality and everything, and it keeps my head warm.
Perfect.
And I don't have a layer between my ear and the headphone either.
Good point.
Do.
There we go, short hair hack.
Yep.
Over
How about you?
The headphones.
Yeah.
I'm good. I feel like still kind of recovering. Sucks like trying to catch up and then like, I don't know, like to add a toddler on top of it. Not that I'm making excuses, but I feel like I'm doing better than yesterday. So I'll take it.
Hey, that's a big improvement.
Yeah. I don't think I really have anything new. Like last night was Brian's turn to ride with the bike group. So I stayed in, which was probably good anyways to feel better, and I went to sleep at like 8.
It was a good night for sleeping.
It was. It was kind of overcast. It was warmer though. We did play in the playground with Riker yesterday.
Yeah.
He was so excited.
It was gorgeous out. I'm sure he'll be ready for to be outside so much more.
Oh, he is. Anytime we even mention it when it's like cold, he's like, yeah, let's go. And he like tries to grab his shoes and everything and his socks. And... yeah, so that's where I'm at.
Nice.
So moving along to announcements.
Looks like you gained some points there for the pigskin party.
I did. Hey, maybe I'll get past 1,000. We never know.
But I think you will.
937.
Nice.
I feel, do we only have until this weekend?
Yes. So maybe. everything, you can find one more thing to finish by Sunday.
I don't know. We'll see. I do have some car knitting coming up this weekend, so.
Oh, nice.
Just to Newton, but still.
Still, that's, you know, about an hour each way, so you should at least have about an hour of car knitting time.
Yeah, so maybe I can pick a project I can finish. And Kelsey's at 2639.
Yep. Until probably tomorrow.
Think you're going to finish your pants?
So I've got 3 things that are going to be finished by Sunday, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
If not 4.
That's awesome.
Only because I'm dedicating stupid time to knitting this week. Just because I can. Because
it makes you happy.
Yes, exactly. But yes, I'm going to finish my pants. I just bound, well, we can get into all the details later.
Okay.
But yes, I'll be finishing the pants and hopefully this cowl finally and probably a hat or 2. Oh, and I need to throw my points for my Alaska skirt on there too.
Oh, you got this.
Yeah.
Nice. You might get to 3,000.
Oh, I will be over 3,000. There's a chance I'd probably be closer to 4.
Awesome.
Because the pants are definitely going to get me a blitz because they're well over 1,000 yards.
That's awesome.
All right. Yesterday I got new audio up for episode 25.
Woohoo.
I didn't mean to necessarily republish it, but it should have popped up in your audio feeds yesterday.
Oh, I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just the way, like when you put more stuff right. on Audible.
And so probably have seen that and it has much better audio than it did before.
Yay. I think it's time to talk about our fiber challenge.
Yes, please.
Right. So we've been talking about it a little bit, but we do have it up on the website. Kelsey made a beautiful form and a little write-up that is just when you go to the Gravel Knits website, it's just along the top, like our Hat Not Hate one is. And you can just click on that for any details you have questions on and get linked to the form.
There's also a link to the entry form from our Instagram profile.
Awesome. That's right, on our link tree.
Yep.
And I'll add it to the notes, too. I think we just have our spreadsheet right now. But that's a great place to go if you have any questions. And if something is not covered, let us know. We'll add it on there.
So we've come up with a way for if you don't want to participate all year long, you don't necessarily want to keep track all year long, but you do want to participate and have a chance at prizes too.
Yeah.
We're going to draw probably quarterly or so, at least from our Instagram. And if you use the hashtag GravelKnitsStash.
Yeah.
Working on can be what you just bought that's going into your stash, what's coming out of your stash.
Yeah. But any participation there will also count towards opportunities for prizes.
And then, of course, there'll be a year-long prize for the grand winner.
Mm-hmm. And we do have a stein coming.
Yes. There will be a stein for the grand prize. Probably some yarn and so forth.
Yes, and so forth.
we'll see what the so forth will come up with, but I'm sure it'll be something cool.
I mean, when we have a whole year to come up with the prize, it's going to be epic.
Definitely. Well, then Caitlin and I are going to have our own.
Our own stein.
Yes. So whichever one of us is closer to 0.
Yeah.
Or has the lowest number. There we go.
I think that does us for announcements. Oh no, support us on Patreon. Done.
Got it. Okay. Yes. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/gravelknit. And as with most Patreons, we have multiple tiers, multiple ways you can interact with us, and we'll interact with you. And any support that you'd like to give us helps keep the lights on and the beers cold. Looks like we're going to go ahead and moving on. So, Caitlin,
yes.
What are you listening to?
So, I have been listening to 42nd Stitch Podcast. It is hosted by Kevin, who is a knitter who also loves theater. And so each episode starts off with some knitting talk, and then he finishes off with some sort of theater talk. It's usually like a review for some sort of performance, but it does vary a little bit.
He's done some mostly musicals, I think, mm-hmm. but in either in person or during the pandemic, he did a series of, you know, musicals that were recorded.
Yeah. And so it's fun, and his website's cool. Follow on Instagram. But it's a fun podcast. They started a little bit before us, so I feel like we're kind of, I don't know, yeah, somehow we're friends, even though he has no idea who I am. But either way, I enjoy the podcast, and I think you guys would too.
I almost prefer the theater portion of the knitting than the knitting portion, which is kind of a different take for me.
That's fun. Like, how cool is it to like bring in something different?
It's fun. I've been trying to actually add in a few more like variations of podcasts rather than just knitting podcasts.
Just so fun to hear what everyone's working on.
Oh, of course.
I'm with you though. Well, rounding yourself. So I think that's what I got for that, or we've got for that. Kelsey, what is brewing?
Well, speaking of what we're working on, well, I'll start with the one in my hands, which we'll end up talking about a lot tonight.
All right. Oh, the cowl. Yep. Oh, I didn't know there was two different grays in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun how you switched there.
I did a little bit of color work there in the middle to switch between the two grays.
Yeah.
But this is, I'm calling it the Festival Cowl, because I took and slightly modified the Festival Hat pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had made the Festival Hat for my mom and I for Christmas, and she wanted something to keep her neck warm, and so I essentially just made it into a long tube, and I used, let's see, it's all Rowan, so the red is the Rowan Aria in plush, and then I have the Tweed Haze in Storm, and then I ran out of the Tweed Haze and I couldn't find any locally. And the couple places I would have liked to have ordered it from didn't have that color.
Oh.
And so I was like, okay, what could I do? Oh, I even went to one of our local yarn stores, and she was sure that she had the color as a sample. So I mm-hmm. ran out of it and was determined to find that sample and just give it to me. But then it turned out it was the wrong color. But that was so nice of her.
Bummer.
So then I ended up getting, let's see, it's called the Classic Alpaca in charcoal, and holding that double and finishing it on the other side. So there's a light gray and the dark gray.
I do like how that turned out, though.
I do, too. And it looks really kind of cool on, because mm-hmm. then it kind of layers a little
bit. Yeah, it adds a neat texture.
Yeah. Well, and then the two yarns are slightly different in texture. One, they're both like alpaca, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they both added a slightly different texture, which is really cool. Nice. I've got about 6 more rows. So this will be done probably by the end of our show.
Yay!
Yeah. Then we were talking about my joggers earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so going to be in love with them.
Oh, you're almost there.
Yep. I have that
much. Started the cuff.
I have one cuff that's done, and then, like, I don't know, 6 more rows in the cuff. So I've got about 20 more rows to go on the joggers. And so those will get done pretty easily, and then I'll just be weaving in the ends.
Nice.
And they're nice and bright. Those used the Bloomsbury DK. And then some Elisa Fiber Nymphs Tweed DK base. And that was in a couple different colors. So it's bright pink and dark navy blue and bright blue and yellow and orange and green. And
there's some beautiful different golds in there too. Oh,
yes, there's like a gold and a brown and a dark brown and like a slight fuchsia. It's so many colors. And I realized today that Emily and Stephanie of Between Knits and Pearls are doing a Knit the Blues Away knit along.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I started those after that knit along started. And I'll have it done in plenty of time before it finishes to enter that.
Yay.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about those. I've tried them on. They fit pretty well. It is initially, those are the tan line joggers by Brianna Lupino of Little Wolf Knits.
Mm-hmm.
And I had adjusted it to use DK rather than, I believe, fingering weight is what it originally called for.
Okay.
Which I liked the DK, and so I just kind of did the math. One thing I wish I would have done a little bit differently would have been to not knit as big of a size at the hips. I wish I would have increased slightly less.
Gotcha.
Because then I tapered it down the leg to a ribbed cuff, which is also different from the pattern. But it fits really well, and they're going to be so comfy warm.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to add an elastic?
No, I think I'm going to do a drawstring. So okay. I don't know how well you're going to tell over the video. But so there's the pink of the waistband. And then I have this mini skein.
Okay.
And I'm thinking I'm going to make an I-cord with this mini skein. And with it being in fingering weight, I'm thinking that a small I-cord may actually fit through the fabric.
Oh yeah.
And so then I'll just pull it through the fabric in a few places.
Nice.
Yeah, because that is one thing that the that a lot of people have been saying about the pattern is that the waistband is too loose. So gotcha. A number of people have gone back and put in either elastic or a drawstring of some kind. So I'm gonna need to do that. Before we started recording, we were talking about just needing stockinette.
Mm-hmm.
To knit with. And of course, I dropped a couple of stitches. This hat has seen its wear already. I feel I'm getting bang for my buck as far as knitting wise on the yarn.
Good.
Which is good, definitely, because I've definitely enjoyed knitting with it. And honestly, I can't remember right off my head what the yarn is, but it's a lace weight alpaca merino.
Okay.
Honestly, I think it's also Rowan. Apparently, I was on a Rowan kick.
Rowan's good.
So, this is the Bustle Burr hat by Isolde Teague.
Okay.
And I am using two colors, a slightly different yarn. One is a lace weight turquoise, which matches the color of Cole's bike pretty closely.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
And so I'm about 5 inches into body of the hat. And so I've knit it once before and it turned out way too big. Like way too big. So I'm just unknitting it from the original knit.
Nice. And yeah, it made for a cute picture though.
Oh, totally. When it was way too big. But that's coming along now that I've got it going again. Picked it up finally again the other day. Just needed something quick and easy. So that's that one. Then I thought I was going to have a finished object today because I spent most of my knitting time today, which I had a fair bit due to a couple appointments. It's the Lollyabella hat by Kino Knits.
Oh, wow. You have been flying.
It was going so fast. So she has a knit along going on right now too. It's called Head to Toe Cal. So she's partnered up with Knitty Joe, I think is what she goes by.
Okay. Yeah, I did see something about that.
And they're doing a theme for each quarter. So this quarter's head. So they both released a hat pattern, or you could knit any of their back catalog.
Cool.
This one has a couple cute little cables at the side with a stockinette and a garter panel, and it comes in. That's really neat. And I didn't realize I cast on for the adult extra large and not the adult large.
Okay.
So it's just a bit too big, and I really kind of wanted Cole to have it. And so I probably only have like 6 rows left. I'm going to rip it out.
No. Oh, bummer.
But I will say it was such an enjoyable, easy to like catch on knit that I have no problem doing it. In fact, I'll do it right now.
Maybe we do have to save this video.
I don't know.
Our first YouTube video of me like coughing the entire time.
And then I have one more.
Okay.
I've actually been working on my spinning project lately.
Yay.
I finally feel like I have time and the energy to want to spin and knit in the same day. Okay. Not just like lays on the couch. Mm-hmm. My being on the spin bike inside on my trainer bike has kind of taken away my like urge to want to actually spin yarn. But I'm working on a blend of alpaca and Surrey and merino.
Cool.
And it's gorgeous. It's got
brown and pink.
Yes. Okay. It's brown and pink and white. And like pink goes from like a hot pink to bold fuchsia. I'm so excited. I'm almost to that fuchsia point.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Oh, and I have one more that I need to add on here.
Okay.
It's been a busy knitting week. I started Frog.
Yay.
Yeah, I finally decided that it was about time that I could cast on Frog. Yeah. Caitlin is there trying to beat Greg.
Yeah.
And so I figured I would jump on team beat Greg.
I still have a chance because he's still on the first one. I don't think he has done Toad at all.
Okay.
I started with Toad.
Oh, that's right. You have Toad done.
Almost. I need to finish stuffing him and sew in his little frown.
Fun.
His Toadie Froud.
All right. Well, with that, I think it's your turn.
Well, congratulations. Joining the Frog and Toad. So I'm going to start with what I'm actually knitting now. I'm now doing another set of Thanksgiving socks by Summerlee because I love them so much. They're knit with my favorite needle size, which is a 3.5 or a US 4. Because I think in millimeters, I don't know, that's just what I do. but it's funny, my straight needles, I always look at the number. So who knows? I guess it's because the number's on them.
The numbers, a little more obvious.
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to be a series of thick socks that I do to get through my Knit Picks chroma. Because it is really fun to marl it with another kind of neutral color. And this one, I'm using what's left of my Alaska hat, which is the Vermont colorway. And I'm holding it double with West Yorkshire Spinners 4-ply. The colorway is Cinnamon Stick. It's just a...
I really like it. It adds like that brown. It adds that little pop to it. I wouldn't have thought of done that.
Yeah, I like it. And like the Alaska hat, I had it with gray. And it's interesting how different it looks.
Oh, this it now almost, like you were talking about earlier, and you said a very earthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it very much brings like that earthy thought to it.
Thanks. I think it's fun. I did change it up a little bit. I wanted to try a different cast on, and then I didn't. And I kind of regret it because I want to try some different cast-ons. Mm-hmm. But I did long tail and then I did 3x1 on my ribbing.
Oh, nice.
So not a huge change, but I'm excited to see how it looks and feels because I really do like that 3x1 look.
I do think it's worth trying things out. And you know, now that you've found a pattern that you really like and fits well, it's a fun way to experiment with it.
Yeah. Think. Yeah, who knows, maybe the next pair I'll add some cables or something to it. I don't know, we'll see. Or a random just single rib, who knows. That'd be really funny, just one
rib. All the way down.
It could work. It has potential. I don't know. I'm not going to talk a lot about what I'm working on just because I have 3 FOs to talk about. But I did have another cast on, which is called The Doctor Who TARDIS Dishcloth by Holly Nerf, or her name is Lindsay. Like, in her Ravelry user game, it's Holly Nerf and then Lindsay. So, it's from Lindsay. And I am using my Lion Brand re-up cotton yarn, which is probably a little bit of a lighter blue than what I think of with Doctor Who, but it is blue nonetheless. And it's flying. I really like, so this is just a dishcloth with a TARDIS on it, but the TARDIS is done in garter instead of like all pearls.
Do you kind of like it?
Yeah, and so I feel like that's kind of a smart design feature just because it's not going to like want to like curve there as right. much as like straight stockinette or so yeah, I'm enjoying it. It is not charted, but it's really like even looking at it written out, you could kind of see like the chart in your head too. So, yeah, just a free fun pattern that's really nice to do when I do my whole half row of knitting at work. yeah, so I think that's probably the two I really want to talk about at the moment. I've touched a lot in the last few weeks though, so that's been really fun.
All right,
Kelsey, what you got?
Let's see if I actually,
what's on tap?
Well, I don't know if I talked about this the last time or not, but I was working on my Vanilla Croy socks, and that was out of the colorway Dad's Jacquard, which was bright pink and red and green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out if we talked about it before we started or not, but I think we did.
Right.
I remember editing it.
I finished those.
Yay!
I know where one of them is right now. I'm not sure where the other is, and neither of them are in here, so you don't get to see them.
I hope that they both find each other so you can wear them.
You know, I have a lot of sock matching I need to do. There's a lot of socks in my bedroom and not a lot of socks match. I think they're all there, but they're just not all together. I think that does it for me, though.
Still, I love those socks. They're way cute. I really like the way you did the increases for the calf.
Yeah, I should take a picture of that. I should model those at some point.
Yeah, Instagram it. So I can look at them whenever I want.
And they were nice and bright, and they come up mid-calf, tall, higher calf, I guess, because they were each 50 grams.
They're so fun.
Right. Okay, your turn.
Excellent. Let's see. I might actually start at the bottom of my list here, which was the oldest, I think. I finished my double knit skull beanie for Riker.
Yay!
And that one, I kind of did some of my own remathing and guesswork. It was inspired by the skull beanie by Melanie Sage, but I switched it to double knit. And because the gauge was so much bigger on that, I cast it on 64 stitches. So the skulls, I couldn't actually do 4 repeats of them. So I have 2 repeats of the skulls. And then I did like a version of corrugated ribbing. And I'm so excited. I think this is my first, like, oh my gosh, what's it called? We were just talking about it. Where you like soak it and then pin
block,
it.
Block.
Yeah, this is my first blocking miracle. There we go. So I definitely in my pearls, I've noticed, and I talked about this a little bit, like I'm not as consistent and my double knitting is just naturally looser. And at the beginning, I definitely had some inconsistent, like almost columns. And between blocking and then throwing them in the dryer, it's super wash yarn. It's really tightened up nice. And I'm so excited. I was like, well, you know what? It's my first double knit hat. It's going to have some character, but it looks great.
I stopped by Caitlin Bryan's pick of the beer today and got to sneak peek at it.
I'm excited you got to see it.
I thought it looks really good.
Thank you. I think I did talk about the leaf lace last time, the dishcloth.
I think so. I think you did mention it, but I don't know if you had it as a finished object.
Yeah. It is finished now. I have not thrown it in the washer yet. but I have been using it so that I can, because I just feel weird washing it for no reason. I don't know. But well, I'll throw my hat in the dryer, but I don't know.
I feel like that might be a little bit of difference, because the washcloth, you're actually, its intended use is for washing things.
Yeah, that's true.
So I probably would do the same thing.
Yeah, so I've been kind of using it. Hopefully this weekend it'll get washed and that'll kind of help open up the lace a little more. But that was really fun. It's something I probably would knit again. The colorway turned out really great. It's a lily sugar and cream. It's a great colorway.
It was cute. I thought it worked well with the pattern.
Thank you. Yeah, and it just different lace than I've done before. So yeah, it's cool.
Oh, I wish I could remember. I was listening to a podcast and they're doing a washcloth along.
Oh yeah. Who is that?
I don't remember right now.
I was listening to them today too.
Well, if we remember, if we figure it out, or someone wants to tell us.
Yeah. Let us know. I'd love to share it with everybody. I just realized that I knitted this so much faster than I thought I was gonna, and I need waist yarn. I have some in my basement.
I have some right here. I'll hand it to you.
Would you hate me if I ran downstairs? I like have the same string. I've used it for both socks.
Look at you. Yeah, no, you can go get some. That's fine.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Enjoy your sips. I'm back. Okay. Sorry, usually I try to be prepared, but I didn't realize that I was going to knit like 3 inches that fast.
Have you done that all tonight, the 3 inches?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those socks fly. I seriously am going to have to make a pair of those.
I think you should. And I'd be really excited to see, like, I feel like they could look so different depending on.
I have some ideas.
Yeah. I should get, like, do different color cuffs, but I've just been lazy.
Eh, you can do that in another pair if you feel inspired to do so.
Yeah. All right. So my last one. I am just, like, stupid excited about this. So I am just such a huge fan of True Crime and Knit and Sophia. Like, I just love the podcast. I like her and she's so much fun. And I think she's the first, like, TikTok account that I followed. Knitting TikTok account, and she's just great. She just makes me so happy, and so I feel like I got to knit for like a celebrity. But she had a test knit for her incredible knit mittens, and so they're a convertible mitten. It's written for a worsted weight, but it's pretty flexible. I actually did an Aran weight that I would say is like a worsted weight. It says it's Aran, but go ahead.
I was going to say, depending on where they are, those can all kind of fall in the same realm.
Yeah. And the yarn was so good for it, because it had like kind of this neat pattern. And so I still wanted that to show through, but it's just a speckly, like purple and green yarn. And I've just been wearing them every day. Like, it's even too warm to wear mittens today, and I wore them anyways.
Well, they have happy. Such a They have a cool texture to them, and the color you did them is what? It's kind of like a
speckly,
purpley blue speckle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with some green and brown. And
between the texture of the yarn, the color, and then the texture of the stitch, like, they look so squishy. They look, they're squishy. Yeah.
they're fun, and it's been cool being part of her test knit. I haven't, like, this is only my second test knit, but this one was kind of different. Like, we had a Discord channel that people just were talking, and I don't know, it kind of felt like a make along, everyone just making the mittens together. And so it's been cool, and I think people are really gonna like them.
I'm excited for them. I might have to make them.
I might make another pair.
Do they come in different sizes? Does she have it set for different sizes or just for one?
Yes. Oh, she has a bunch of sizes. I'm going to quote her. I think she had 5 sizes on there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I actually knit the size small, but then I did the size extra large for length, because I have like skinny hands with long fingers. So, and it worked out perfect. Like, my thumbs Like, I've never knitted a thumb before, but they're, I don't know, I'm very proud of them. They just fit so well. It just,
yay!
I don't know. And they each are pretty similar. And I don't know, it's been really fun. And it's just been so cool to, like, say that I've kind of talked to her. Oh, she's so cool. So it's just, it's been a really cool experience. And they turned out really great. And just, I don't know. I wish I, like, had, like, a million more things to say. But I think we kind of covered it. But it's just, so, they're so fun.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad you had such a good experience.
Yeah, I've been really lucky. But that is that. And that is my last one.
Cool. Shall we move into what's hopping, or should we have a beer?
Well, if our notes are correct, I'd say we can knock that out right now. No, they're not, though, are they?
They're not.
Okay, yeah, let's do a beer beverage.
Actually, you know, let's just get through the stash enhancements, and then we'll get to a beverage. Because I can go like this. If yours are correct, then I can go through mine fairly well.
Mine are correct, which is pretty weird. We're saying this because there's nothing written in the notes. I think probably the listeners have caught on to this, but that's what's going on right now.
Technically, in the notes, there's no stash enhancements. However, I have not updated my notes. And a lot of my stash enhancement has come from hangovers. Or sort of hangovers.
Yeah, well, you'll have that.
Oh, totally. I went to our local yarn store Friday. I went Friday afternoon because the cowl that I'm working on, I ran out of the tweed haze. And so I had tried to track it down for like 2 days because I figured I was going to run out. Ran out, no, can't find it. Okay. So I came up with that substitution. I came up and with the charcoal classic alpaca. But of course, I couldn't just buy what I needed. I have a hat pattern in mind that I've knit once.
Okay.
It's my Beer Me hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to finish the design for it. And so I picked up... I swear I'm not a Rowan like ambassador or anything, but if they would like to sponsor our podcast, to be. I picked up 5 different colors. That's 4 of them.
And they go so well. They're lovely.
I have, I don't know, let's see. Oh, they don't have real color names on them, but I've got a turquoise, a grape, a lime green, like...
Tweedy white.
Icelandic, like, tweedy white. And then there's also a pink.
Aww.
Because it's me and I like pink.
It's a lovely pink. It's like a juicy pink.
So I have those to work on that design with.
Okay.
And, you know, I was walking by the yarn and I saw this one.
Is that Noro?
No, but it looks a lot like Noro.
Okay.
Good Ifra? Proudly designed in Tuscany, Creativo.
Oh, I used some of that, not that yarn, but for my first Yoda hat was that brand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a wool viscose polyamide blend, but it's a bulky weight, and I thought that would be a fun hat. No idea what pattern or what, but it was just fun and had to come home.
That yarn will just, I don't know, it'll speak.
Yes.
For sure. It's so fun. All the different colors. And...
Well, it's like the yarn that I used for the Lalibela just spoke to me last night. I was actually doing a plank looking at some of my yarn and I was like, ooh, that's pretty. And then the same cowl, I ran out of the plush, the red color.
Okay.
Apparently, I bought all of it from our yarn store. And I was like, okay. I checked a couple places in town. They're all out. And I was like, okay, can't find it. Well, then I looked online at Wool & Company out of Illinois, closer to Caitlin's home. And they had it.
All right.
Yeah. So I ordered a skein of that. But since I was making an order, I was like, I don't feel right just getting an order for one small skein.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to get big skeins. I was inspired for a sweater on the Pigskin Party forum called the Susie Cardigan. It is a cardigan that has like a cable across the shoulder and then some big ribbing down the collar.
It almost looks like it's like a sideways braid, but you said it's bottom up.
It's top down. I did tell you it was bottom up, but it's actually top down.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure how that works. I'm very interested in it. But pretty much everyone I've seen that has made it did it in Cascade Eco Plus. And so I've never known with it. I'm not a huge fan of using superwash much anymore for some things, but I figured I'd at least try.
All right.
And I got the color boysenberry.
That's accurate.
Yes. The color that's coming across on the screen is very much boysenberry. And so it's got that purpley goodness to it. And I was like, I don't have a sweater in that color. And so, yeah, that's probably moving towards the top of my next sweater list.
Cool.
But I'd like to finish one first. Okay. That's my stash and handmints. Yes, I would like to continue the year of the sweater, but I haven't even touched one yet.
Yeah, my poor sea glass is sitting there waiting for me.
Mine is too. I just need to do the sleeves and miss. Oh no, I need to do the neck and weave in all the million ends.
Mm.
That I think I need to find the like stamina to do a bunch of that in one sitting.
I'm impressed. I'd have to do it in little pieces.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Okay, with that, I say before beverage. We get to the hangovers, we should have a beverage.
Okay, that's accurate. Yeah, if we can usually time it that way, that's smart. also, Franklin Street. This is the Devil's Backbone Stout, which what sold me on it was that it is, it says inside oats, Munich, victory, and nougat. So I know I like oaty stouts. And this can was cool. So that's where I'm at.
Oh, on the side of it, it says life. Backbone Park, rock climbing, fishing, hiking, which I've been to Backbone State Park, and I've been rock climbing there.
Oh, very cool. This is good. It's more like malty and subtle than I expected, and that makes me really happy because that's what I like in stouts.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I don't want to say basic because it's not basic. It's definitely roasty, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm even like holding it like a coffee now.
You are.
I'm like hugging it. It's just my automatic reaction.
If you want to give your beer a hug, it's okay.
Good. Let's go and do that. It's over here.
Pretty tasty.
Yeah. I can't definitely quite pinpoint all the flavors I'm tasting.
There's just so much roastiness to it. Like, I don't think it's overpowering it. But it's definitely a wonderful very feeling. Roasty.
There's some sort of like, I don't want to say fruit because I feel like that's going to come off wrong. But there's like this little sweetness kind of sitting on the edge of it.
Well, I think it'd be something like the nougat, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, it is probably that. But I enjoy that little hint at the end.
Devil's back.
Yeah, I'm real glad I have a few more of these. Probably drink them during the Super Bowl. Or at least one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is wonderful. Yay.
Why am I not finding it?
Go Franklin Street.
Yeah, if I remember, they're a pretty cool little smaller brewery. Oh, this one might be so new, it's not even on Untappd.
Yes! We're setting the trend. First beer review.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Why? I want to find it.
You did have it linked at the top to something.
No, it's a fake link.
Oh,
I found it. Dark and devilish as the night is long, this full-bodied stout has more than a hint of chocolate and a rich espresso nose. No less than 10 varieties of grain, including chocolate and roasted malt, make this a smooth drinking stout that pairs well with desserts, although it's a dessert in itself.
It's wonderful. But it's also not too heavy.
Our stout is named after one of the highest points in eastern Iowa, the Devil's Backbone in Backbone State Park, located north of Manchester.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty good. All right, so hangovers. I'm going to ask you this. You don't have anything in the notes, but do you have any hangovers?
I do not.
Okay. Because on that note, it's going to be my hangovers. My big hangover.
Oh no, honey.
Well, not like a big hangover, but I would definitely say it's like a multi-day hangover.
Woof.
Yeah. So this festival cowl, there were a couple times where I missed some of the color work.
Okay.
And so I ripped it back a few times.
Mm. Like, okay.
Fine, whatever. And then I was starting to work on how, because, you know, I was just modifying a pattern. It's like, okay, well, I think I'm going to run out of this. What happens if I try this? Well, I was going to not have enough. I was going to make it about 2/3 the length that it is.
Okay.
And bring the bread back in earlier. But I was going to not have enough of the initial storm because I only had 12 grams of that.
Okay.
So I had gotten into the second set of color work and decided there wasn't going to be enough, so I ripped it back. Then I kept going on the gray to see if maybe I would just go straight to the gray and then into the red again, but I didn't like how that was going to transition.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So then that had me go to the yarn store to find the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, cool. So then I made that transition. That's fine. But then I came back up here and I started into the color work and realized I was going to run out of the red because I had already bought a skein and used a little bit of what I had left for the first like inch of the bottom.
So are those different reds?
They're all the same red.
Okay. I was like,
all the same red.
Same.
It's possible that this one is from a different dye lot than these two.
Okay.
Because in all there's going to be some from three different skeins of the red.
Well, I can't notice. I think it looks great.
I can't even notice in person. So I think it looks great to me. But just the simple fact, like every single time I've went to work on this, I've either had to rip it back, start over, or ran out of yarn. And it's happened multiple times. But that, yeah. So it's been ripping it back and rethinking and ripping it back and rethinking. But that's okay because now I have a design written up for something else. I was like frustrated with this one day. I'm like, okay, well, I want to do a different version of this, but something that's my version of this. And so now that's going to be worked on probably pretty soon here too. Excited. So that's my like 3-day hangover.
That's a multiple day hangover in multiple ways.
Right? Like to me, ripping back a few rows and redoing, not such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I, you know, ripped back at least 4 different times. My mom is going to be a very lucky woman.
It's true.
But, you know, now that I have more of the red and I have the charcoal, I want to make her a pair of thrummed mitts to go with.
Yes. Which goes along with one of your goals for the year.
It is. Exactly. And believe it or not, I found a knit along with thrummed mitts. So.
Cool.
So it's going to get cast on next week.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, and the Yarn Harlot on her Patreon just did a thing on thrumming. So I'm very excited to work on those.
She's amazing.
She's very smart. Very knowledgeable.
Thanks.
All right.
That's your only hangover, that's, right?
Yeah. Yep. I think we're just gonna go with that one because I don't think we're gonna count this as a hangover, only because it was fun.
Oh my god, you rolled that so fast.
It came out quickly. It was on worst. It's a worsted weight, and I just pulled it off the hat. So
still, you rolled.
Yep,
you rolled fast.
Well, I'm gonna have to cast that back on when we get done. Because that one requires a little thinking.
I'm sorry. There's a cat behind my head right now. But she mostly hangs out with Brian. So when she does come by, I do try to acknowledge her sweet little kitty. All right. So with that in mind, talking about sweet little kitties, totally related. We're going to talk about our topic next. Still a working title, but I'm going to call it for now A Day in the Life of Caitlin and Kelsey Knitting.
I like it.
So the thought here is we're going to talk about how we get knitting in during our daily lives, hoping to kind of help inspire everyone to see what works well for them. I know an example that kind of popped out to me is Pam Maher from the Unraveling podcast. She says she makes at least an extra pair of socks each year because she keeps them in her purse. And whenever she's waiting in line, she works on them. So I just thought that definitely is something that I have used. And like, I always have knitting because you just never know. There's times where I really didn't think I was going to knit. And then I was glad that I had something. So just talking about where we knit throughout our day. And so I did structure some questions to help us, but we'll see if we'll follow them or go off the rails. Either is going to be great. So that's the plan.
I like it. I like this topic a lot.
I'm so excited. So my first question, if we're ready, are we ready?
Yep, we're ready.
Okay. Is when and where is your first stitch of the day typically?
It depends if it's a weekday or a weekend.
Good point. Let's go weekday first.
On a weekday, it's usually at the office after I've taken care of all of my first things to do of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the day, depending on what my tasks are, a couple hours into my workday, I'll probably be waiting on something to run, or I'll be sitting in a meeting on a Zoom call and I'll pull out something then. I've been trying to make it later and later in the day just so I get more and more done. Especially my projects at work have been changing and I haven't been having as much wait time lately.
Yeah, you've been doing some pretty cool stuff.
I have been doing some stuff, but at the same time, what I've been working on has a lot of chances for me to wait on the computer to run things. And so while I wait on the computer to run things, that's when I pick up my knitting.
Nice. Me too. So I'm going to go with that. And then weekend.
And then on the weekend, if it's a weekend where I'm home, we'll say it's a weekend I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, that varies if I'm working or biking or whatever. But typically it's first thing in the morning, once I'm out of bed, as soon as I've got the coffee made, then I'm sitting on the couch in the day for a little while at least.
Yeah.
And that's pretty typical, whether we're going to end up doing something later in the day or not. Like, I discovered while Cole was working earlier in the morning than I was, that I really enjoy starting my morning off with coffee and knitting and just a little quiet time.
Yeah.
I wish I did that every day. Like, I just haven't found the energy to want to get up earlier to find that time.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause otherwise,
sleep matters.
Right. Although I seem to stay up and keep that time because I find that easier. I don't know.
Oh, totally.
How about you?
So kind of the same story with work. If I'm in the office, then I usually pull it up and like it sits next to me, which makes me happy, even if it is something that I'm just kind of looking at most of the day. If I'm working from home, I have a sweater and it's just less portable. So I think it's kind of perfect for my at home. Like, it's just not in the way. And so that like changes on my work location on what I'm working on. One thing I really like about the dishcloths that I work with in the office is there's like a definite end to the row. So like if I'm really stuck on something, I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna knit a row and just like step back. And that does wonders for my brain.
It really does. If it's something I've been sitting here thinking about the same problem for the last half hour, it's not getting any better. Okay, yeah. I'm just going to take 2 minutes, knit a few stitches, and then
it ends up saving me time and making me much happier.
All wonderful bonuses.
There has been one instance where I have knitted at the gym at like 5:50 in the morning.
Were you waiting on people?
Yeah, so for a while we didn't really have a 5 a.m. group, but if I coached and I could get myself to the gym, I'd pump on the way to the gym, work out, coach, go home, and no one was signed in, but I still just wait, like especially if I'm there, I'm like, I'm gonna wait until 6, and someone did show up. So, but I ended up knitting for maybe 10 minutes at the gym at 6:50 in the morning. So,
hey, if you're going to be there already anyway.
Yeah, have a car project there to grab just in case.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of fun. Yeah, I think that's what I got on my first stitch for the day. Because it's typically, weekends. That varies pretty wildly. But yeah, perfect case scenario. Granted, I've got the toddler running around, but I can generally knit while he's playing. He kind of like wants a little input, but he's starting to be independent. So it works out really well for me to have the knitting and like step back, but be there. But depending on who's making breakfast and all that, I might make breakfast and coffee first, or Brian might be making breakfast and coffee and Riker and I are playing, or yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, no, even if I end up being the one making breakfast on the weekend, like I get a few stitches in first.
Love it. I don't know. I especially if I'm making breakfast, I'm really excited about the pancakes. So knitting waits.
You know, while the pancakes, you know, while you're waiting on the pancake to brown, there's 5 seconds of a sock.
That's cool. That's true. I don't know. My cooking style is a bit chaotic. Usually I'm doing 50 things at once. Like I'm making coffee at the same time and like mixing the eggs and baking bacon, or not baking, frying bacon while I'm making the pancakes. So
we team cook most Saturdays, and it's like he gets the eggs and bacon and I do the pancakes.
We usually did that. We did for a while. It just hasn't worked out that way lately. It's been one of us. But it is fun to team. And then I like doing the pancakes because I can just hang out and flip my pancakes. Yeah. So just going right along our day. My next question is lunchtime.
Always. Always. Every lunch. Anywhere. Something. And as far as what I'm working on, like, I'll take one project with me usually for the office and I'll work on that over lunch. Unless there's something else that, you know, I really want to put some more time into. It's a little bit more complicated. That'll be what I work on over lunch. Might be the little more complicated thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say if I take a lunch, I'm going to bring knitting, but I often don't take lunch. But if I do, it's like such like an experience and it makes me so happy, and usually that's just whatever is either in my car or whatever smaller project I have going. Not that I wouldn't take something bigger, I just, I don't know, my bigger projects tend to park on the couch.
Well, and if it's, you know, obviously if it's going to be something that's a little bit more portable, it tends to be what I take. Usually nothing bigger than like a start of a sweater.
Okay. Yeah, and a sweater is very portable for a long time, really.
Oh, they don't
get too big
so.
For a while.
I think they only get frustrating once they get the sleeves on.
Yeah,
especially if you're knitting, you know, if you're knitting top down with sleeves. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
great minds.
I love this roasty beer. It's fun.
You know, going back to the sour, if sour is so incredibly tart now.
Oh, I bet. Mine may have been commandeered, which is fine. I'm trying to focus on recovering, so I'm not drinking as much. After work knitting, what is your typical after work? Let's start with like a weekday. Where are you doing it then?
If it's a weekday where I actually get to come home and like do stuff at home, I typically we'll have a project, a harder project that's by my couch,
mm-hmm.
and we'll make dinner and then hang out on the couch a lot of nights, which is fine if we're, you know, we're not out biking or something, and I'll work on that for most of the night. I've been trying to change it up so that I don't work on the same thing all day every day, and especially I've been finding that different projects with different size needles is huge, because I have had issues in the past with, you know, repetitive injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to not have that happen. Especially a couple weeks ago, I had an issue with severe stress in like my shoulders and neck.
Oh, honey.
which I don't think was a knitting related injury. I think that was just solely a stress thing.
Yeah. But being able to mix it up can help kind of chill out your shoulders.
Absolutely. And so that's good. I try to keep, you know, the bigger project, the thing with the more yarn options, whatever is going to require more tension to work on at home.
Mm-hmm.
Although that really varies sometimes too. Like, it's nice to have a less intensive project as well.
I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it does vary, but typically I'd say the most consistent knitting I get in is like you're mentioning, is that couch time after bedtime with Riker.
Mm-hmm.
And that is typically when I do my more complicated projects. But there's other like times during the evening that I can get some knitting in. So like sometimes Riker will have a really involved snack, so he'll end up like actually sitting in his high chair, and so I'll knit while he's eating and keep him company. And I'll take it with me if he's playing outside, depending on what type of playing we're doing. Like if we go across the street to the park or something like that, I probably won't. But if he's hanging out in the backyard playing in like his little playhouse and stuff, I'll bring my knitting out there. Let's see. I think that was my big ones. I actually knitted during a walk the other day.
Did you? Were you walking while you were knitting?
Yeah.
Nice. I've been trying to do that every once in a while.
It was fun. I put the yarn in my pocket and off we went, because it was like nice, but we didn't really want, that was last week, so we had the plague, and so we didn't want to go to a playground and possibly spread it, but it was nice, so we walked around the block, and so I knit him while we walked, and some of the time I held his hand, and so I wasn't knitting during that, but
aww, yeah. That's good.
It was nice to kind of get out. I'm trying to think if there's any other, like, my typical day, that's probably where they're at. Other things will be, like, we've done tumbling class and swimming lessons, and so one of us will be kind of spotting him, and then the other person is watching, so I'll knit during that if I am the watching person, if it's my turn to be a watcher. If we end up having, like, breakfast or lunch over at Brian's parents' house, usually Riker's getting a lot of attention, so it's actually kind of better for me to step back, and so I'll knit if I'm not helping with stuff like that too. I feel like that's what I got.
Well, that's good.
My next question, knitting on your bike. Let's hear from the expert here, Miss Kelsey.
I'm really not an expert, because...
Darn it, Mrs. Kelsey. Sorry, Ms.
Yes.
I'm fired.
You're totally fired. Well, I have yet to actually accomplish knitting on my bike. Someday. I did tell Cole the other day, though, that at some point I really need to figure out how to attach a spinning wheel to a bike.
Yeah. And if you guys get a tandem bike.
Yes, I told him that. That would be very, very, very cool. Because then I could spin and that would be awesome.
That
could be our rag rye, like, thing. No, but in reality, when we would just go out for, like, if I know that we're gonna ride somewhere and have downtime, like we're gonna go to a brewery or something, I have a little backpack I take, or I have a frame bag that I stick a sock or a small hat or some smaller project.
Is that a backpack you wear while you bike then? Mm-hmm. Or is it something that goes, okay.
It's a small camelback.
Okay. I didn't even think of that. That's a great idea.
So I can actually have my liter of water in there. Or I think it's a liter. Maybe it's a 2 liter. Yeah, it's a 2 liter. 2 liter camelback. And it's got like a little backpack area. And it's enough space for a hat or socks or a little bit more even.
Nice.
So something simple like that. That's not going to take much attention. And the needles could possibly get damaged or whatever. That's just something I take into account.
Yeah, that's true.
But I seem to own a, like, billion size zero needles, so socks are great.
Nice. So far I've only taken socks, but it's just amazing if you just grab like what you need for one sock, because I usually keep everything together in my project bag.
Mm-hmm.
But that, it's just, it takes no space, and I like tied a bag underneath, like... my
this much space,
like a fist or less size.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually tied it underneath my seat. And then nice. I've also put it in my bag in the back. But it's perfect. And a lot of the biking we have been doing is in the dark. So I've had it but not used it. But it's still been there. And then if we go out to eat or something, I'll grab it then.
That's typically, I don't do a whole lot of knitting while actually out doing the riding part. It's only if we're stopped doing something like eating or drinking.
Gotcha. Well, there's my walks question. I jumped the gun on that one. And my last one, I also kind of covered most of my answers for this, but where else do you knit? What's something that we haven't talked about that is a nice place to be prepared to knit if you want?
The doctor's office.
Yes. Dentist.
Yep, I do my eye doctor. She's very familiar with my knitting, so is my regular doctor, and the gal who does my hair.
Do you knit during a haircut?
No, I don't. Only because she shaves my head most of the time.
Good point.
And so I don't ever want to like mess with that.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I don't want hair on my project.
Yeah. No. Even with my long hair, I made sure it was back. No, the way I don't really want to knit my hair into my projects.
Right.
No.
I keep knitting in my purse and in the car. I always have some sort of knitting on me. I knit in, take out our fast food lines.
Mm.
Railroad crossings that are going to be long.
To make it easy to grab for like waiting in line or in your car, is there like a certain like pocket that you put things in or a certain place that makes it easier? Like say if you're waiting in line at the post office or something.
If I'm in line at the post office and I just have my purse, then I just put it in the main pocket of my purse.
Okay.
My purse will fit a small project like socks or a hat.
Yeah, I also said the car, like waiting in the car. I do knit while we record, and I do knit while I edit. While I edit, I make sure it's something kind of like DK or thicker and simple because I'm listening.
Right. No, if it's a spot where I'm stopped and waiting for anything,
you're knitting.
I'm knitting pretty much. Unless I will say there are definitely times where knitting is definitely more frowned upon.
Which is so weird.
But no, there are some times where I feel like that's appropriate that I'm not gonna knit. I don't know.
I guess I'm thinking about like I went to a baby shower with my mom and she's like, "You're gonna knit during the baby shower?" I'm like, "Yeah, we're gonna watch her open gifts."
there probably
is scenarios that
I
would understand that too.
For me, I feel like in that situation, it's kind of dependent on who I'm with. If it's someone I know well and they know that I knit, there's a good chance I'm knitting. But if I don't know them as well and they don't really know that I knit, then I'm not going to just start knitting. I don't know.
I can understand that. And I think you had a train of thought and I'm trying to remember. No, we covered it.
I think we're good.
Yeah. Oh, this is a fun topic, though. Hopefully we gave you guys some ideas. If you, as listeners, have some great knitting locations or preps.
I think the big takeaway from this is, like, there are more places to knit. If you're looking for that time, you can find that time. Whether it's a couple minutes here, mm-hmm. whether it's waiting in line at the post office, or waiting to get your car registration renewed, or waiting on a computer process to run, you have a few minutes. Or, like you mentioned, okay, I need to relax. I need to take this moment away. I need to refresh, take a step back, renew myself, and go. I think that can play. I think the sensory and the meditative portion of knitting can play into that part largely.
That was such a good summary, Kelsey. I like that.
Well, then, should we move on into IRL?
Heck yes, we should.
I believe I'm good to go first.
Apparently I am. So this is something I did start at the beginning of the year and just haven't... I don't know. We were talking about so many other beginning of the year things. So I don't know if this is necessarily... It's kind of just an experiment that I've decided to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep all of my needles, at least all my circular needles, in the original packaging, unless the packaging died, and then I put it in a Ziploc, and then I have them in pencil bags. And so whenever I put things away for a project, I'm going to put a sticker on the bag that says I use those needles. And I'm just kind of curious on what ones get used this year.
Oh, gotcha. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. I think it'd be neat to see what gets used and what doesn't. And no, just kind of a fun little, experiment, I guess.
That'd be interesting because I feel like I end up using a lot of the same needles time and time again.
Me too. And like a lot of the same lengths.
Well, and that's one thing with Ravelry that I've started tracking on my projects. I used to never track like which needles I used on the project. And now I've actually been doing that.
I put in like which size, but I don't necessarily say.
Right. And I have been just using which size so far. And that's not something I ever used to track on there.
I do like it to look like, especially since I'm like a new sock knitter. I really like that to be like, okay, I know that I did 56 in this sock, but like what size needles was I using?
Right.
So that can kind of help me pick my next size. Maybe.
I would think so.
Probably still have to frog it a few times, but we'll see. Yeah, so that's what I got. How about you?
Trying to think. last week was a big weekend.
Yeah, it was.
I worked my side gig on Sunday, and that was at a local place, which was really nice just to, like, it made for a short day. Everyone wanted to work ahead of schedule, so we worked ahead of schedule, which was great. Then I got to enjoy the evening at home and actually have some like downtime coming off of a weekend for once, which is always nice. But the day before that, there is a ride, I think I mentioned it last year, called Burr, which is the bike ride to Ripley, which is a ride from Perry, Iowa to Ripley, Iowa, the first Saturday of every February. Rain, snow, sun, clouds, -7, 63. I've seen it all. And that's only in 4 years, mind you. And so last year was the first time I did not ride it, but served beer at it.
Okay.
And it turned out great last year, even with the -6 that everyone started out with that day. Like, that day we had a really hard time keeping beer from freezing. It was so cold.
So crazy.
I know. And this year is like, you know what? I don't even want to deal with thinking about riding my bike. I'm just going to sell beer this year. And I did. And I ended up essentially running. They're in it. So my friend Jay has the Thirsty Pigs event company, and they do bike tours and beer tours and rentals, and but he also does like beverage stops on bike tours and stuff.
Okay.
And so I was working for him and essentially ended up being the lead at our location in Ripley.
Very cool.
It was such a good turnout. There were so many people and the sun was shining, and it ended up being like 40 degrees at the height of the day. And the sun was nice, and fortunately in town, we were a little bit out of the wind, and it ended up being a beautiful, gorgeous day. So, made some fun money, drank some good beers, hung out with friends. Cole got in a metric century of riding, because he also did the Gerda Burr portion, which is the gravel ride to Rippy, or okay. The gravel ride to Burr, yeah. We all had fun that day. It was really good.
Yay!
There's supposed to be a fat bike race Saturday, but definitely opting out of it because it's nice out. And the unfortunate part of it being really nice out is the snow is disappearing.
It is. So maybe it'll snow again.
I saw a thing today that said that we're in full spring.
Yes.
So you probably saw that too.
We'll probably have a few of those this year, I feel like. Because it's real early.
It is way too early for those.
And I want to play with my studs.
Yeah, you do.
Your bike tire studs, but you know.
Same thing. I think that's about it for me.
Nice.
Oh, but yeah, no, I never mentioned it. I wanted to mention it earlier with the woolen company with my stash.
Oh, okay. So
I ordered it yesterday afternoon from Illinois. It was on my doorstep by 4 o'clock this afternoon.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mind you, I paid for their expedited shipping for $8. Under 24 hours from place.
That's impressive. Like,
yeah, I am so shocked.
That's nice. Especially when you're like in the project and you wanna.
Right. Well, I'm so ready to cast. I'm gonna swatch for that sweater. I think cast it on soon.
Yay!
I think that's it. I think that does it.
Perfect. Well, that all
the things.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd as Gravelknits. Our website is gravelknits.com. You can email us at gravelknits@gmail.com.
You can find me, Kelsey, on Instagram and Ravelry as Bikes Brews Use, and Untappd as Kelsey J.
And you could find me, Caitlin, on Ravelry and Instagram as Caitlin and Lloyd. Please message us to let us know what you'd like us to talk about and what you think of the show. If you like our podcast, please share it with a friend.
Please do. Gravel Knits believes everyone deserves to be included and loved, regardless of who you love, beliefs, color, size, your gender, or whatever else makes you you. Please keep in mind that we are human, and while you're trying to educate ourselves, there's always more to learn, and any critiques are deeply appreciated.